We have two passages from God's Word to read tonight. Pick up the Bible that's in front of you in the pew and look with me at the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And then we'll be turning over to the second chapter of the second epistle of the Thessalonians, chapter 2. First of all, John's Gospel, chapter 14. The Lord Jesus is the speaker. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Turning over to 2 Thessalonians at the chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. But now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God will stamp with his own divine approval this reading from his very own infallible book. If you have your Bible, I want you to look with me at two verses. Two contrasting verses. The 14th chapter of John's Gospel, and at the verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then turning over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We read there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 these words, verse 11 and 12. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The religious world has been shaken this past week by the publication of this new document on the dominion of Jesus, as it is called, by the Pope of Rome. Now there has been many comments, both on radio, television, and in the press, and a whole series of people have risen up to be apologists for the Roman Catholic Church. We are told that this is the work of one cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. Well, he is a name of a rat at the beginning of a surname. So that puts up the alarm bells. There must be some religious vermin about the country. Well, he is the man, and it's his doctrine. That is not so. And then we discovered, when we got a copy of the document, 20 pages, we discovered that it had upon it the official seal of the infallible Pope. It was presented to the Pope, and he approved it as his, and declared that it was to be believed by all those who retained their faith, their true Christian faith. And then we had one of the archbishops who was present, and he said, every Catholic must believe this. There's no room for discussion or debate or argument. This is the official teaching of the Church of Rome. The model of the Roman Catholic Church is, as you know, Semper Idem, always the same. Now, we have been told by the leading ecumenists that old Rome has changed and a new Rome has taken its place. And these ecumenists have told us the Pope has been converted. Even Billy Graham tells us the Pope is the greatest evangelist God has on earth. They shall believe a lie, says my Bible. Let me tell you this, my friend. The Roman Catholic Church has not changed. Who is this congregation of the faith, headed by this Ratzinger? Who is it? It's the old institution of the Inquisition. And it has been called a new name. The Inquisition was responsible for millions. Yes, go and read any good encyclopedia and turn up the word Inquisition and read the history of the Inquisition. It is the same department, the very same department that butchered the Protestant peoples of the world, generation after generation. And this congregation of the faith are those that drew up this document, who presented it to the Pope, and the Pope gave it his infallible approval, and it was registered to be believed and not challenged, to be believed by the whole of the people. Last week in Rome we had another happening. We had the beginning of making saints. I laughed when I looked at one newspaper and it said, Dublin has had one saint after 1,000 years. And I laughed and I said, well, that's a record. If Dublin has produced one saint after 1,000 years, it must be a very rotten city, because it is supposed to be the leading Catholic city of the world. But there were two popes started a journey at Rome this week. Journey to sainthood. And in the Roman Catholic Church, if you're going to be made a saint, you have to be duly examined. And you have to have all the facts and figures put before a tribunal. And you have a devil's advocate who advocates you shouldn't be made a saint. And you have an angelic advocate, I suppose we would call him, and he puts the case for sainthood. And they picked out a pope called Pius the Ninth. Who was he? He was like Hitler. He was an anti-Jew pope. And the fact he was nominated has caused great opposition in Israel and with the Jews throughout the world. He also was the man that discovered he was infallible when he sat down. He wasn't infallible when he stood up, but when he sat down in Peter's chair, he discovered he was infallible. To listen to some Roman Catholics, you would think that the infallibility of a pope was something believed from the early centuries of the church. Nonsense! It did not become an apostolic doctrine until the middle of the century, the 19th century. In fact, I have a catechism, Kingdom's Catechism at home in my library, which was published before this Pope Pius discovered he was infallible when he sat down. And you know what it says? Do Catholics believe in the infallibility of the Pope? And the answer is no. That's an invention of the Protestants. You didn't know that the infallibility of the Pope until the middle of the 19th century was told by Rome in all her official documents. It was an invention of the Protestants. Now, of course, it is an apostolic document and faith to be believed. I want to ask some questions tonight. Why did we have this document at this time? Well, this document came at this time before the Queen should meet with the Pope. Because Rome intended to insult the Queen and intended to cut the Church of England to size. And so Rome decided that they would declare that the Church of England is not even a church. And that's what this document has declared. You remember I preached from this pulpit some months ago, and our church had an official protest in Canada over a book called The Gift of Authority. And in that book, the Roman Catholic International Commission and the Anglican International Commission called the churches in the report the two churches. In this document that the Pope has just issued, he has censured and reprimanded that commission and said, how dare they talk about two churches? There is only one church, and that is the Church of Christ, and that church subsists in the Roman Catholic Church alone. I have all the press, a whole pile of all the Roman Catholic newspapers, a most interesting story about what has happened. The cardinal said, we have no sisters. There's no such thing as a sister church, because we are the mother of all churches. They don't have any sister churches. And yet we hear these ecumenists. I heard an Irish Presbyterian ecumenist on this morning, and he said, it's not really too bad. What we should do is, as ministers and elders, we should ring up the local priest and have a little chat with him. Think of it. A little gentleman. Now, when I have read this document and weighed it through it, I discovered, not with any surprise, that this document strikes at Christ. It's an anti-Christ document of a lying church, which is an imposter, and it strikes at Christ. The whole burden of this document is to teach that Christ alone doesn't save people, but it is the church as representative of Christ who are the instrument of the salvation of souls. That's why I have chosen these two texts, because this text says, first of all, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me say to you tonight, there are three things in that text. Mark them down. There is the excelling title. Jesus says, I am. Secondly, there is the exclusive task. The way, the truth, and the life. And there is the eternal throne. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now just look at those three points for a moment. We have all read the Psalm 23. We know it very well indeed. But maybe you don't know that six titles of Christ are expounded in the Psalm 23. You'll find them all through the Old Testament. First of all, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Who provides salvation? Is it the church? No, salvation is provided by Christ and by Christ alone. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord will provide. Secondly, Jehovah said, Kenyon, the Lord our righteousness. How are we saved? By the righteousness of the church? No. But by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I am is Jehovah. Jesus Christ is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. But he's something more. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Because when you learn to know his provision and you receive his righteousness, you're immediately healed. You're healed. He forgiveth our sins. He gives us that peace, that passive knowledge. And that brings me to the next one. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord send peace. That brings me to the next one. The Lord is my banner. Jehovah Nissi. He brings us into his banqueting house. And his banner over us is love. And that brings me to the last one. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And when the Lord is in your heart, you have perfect peace and a perfect salvation. I am, says Jesus. The Pope says he is the one that has the authority to say who are saved and who are not saved. And away back in the early days of popery, she brought in the law, the Unum Sanctum law. And what did it say? It said this: we declare, affirm, define, and pronounce it to be necessary to salvation for every human creature to be subject to the Roman Pontiff. And Cardinal Manning, after the Pope declared himself infallible, he said, without doubt, that statement of Pope Boniface VIII, that there was no salvation without union with the Pope, was infallible and beyond all doubt an act ex cathedra, making it unbreakable, irrevocable, and immutable. Think of it. No salvation without the Pope. I want to tell you tonight, there is no salvation with the Pope. If you're trusting, if there's a Roman Catholic in this meeting tonight, and you're trusting in the Pope, you're trusting in a false Christ. You're trusting in a Christ which is not the Christ of God. I am. The Bible tells me that after Jesus Christ would go to heaven, after his cross, there was going to come upon this earth the greatest religious fraud that had ever appeared in the world. It was going to be a diluted Christianity, a substituted Christianity, a counterfeited Christianity, and a polluted Christianity. He said, there shall come false Christs, and they shall deceive many. Now, these were not false atheists. These were not false secularists or materialists. These people came in the name of Christ, and they spoke in the name of Christ. And many were deceived with them. And so great would the deception be, my Bible tells me that the whole world will be deceived. Did Jesus Christ speak the truth? Yes, he did. And when Christ died, there arose this great religious monstrosity, pretending to be Christ's church, claiming all the authority of Christ, claiming that their Pope was the successor of Peter, whom they claimed Jesus made the head of the church. Peter was never the head of the church. Couldn't be, because the church has only one head, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, thou art Peter, a stone, but upon this rock, what rock? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I had a strong debate once with a Romanist, and he said, Peter is the rock on which my church is founded. Well, then you are the church of Satan. He says, how dare you say that? Well, I said, Christ did it. He said to Peter, thou art Satan. Get behind me. That was the end of the debate. He ran away. He ran away. He didn't want to hear anymore. Let me tell you this tonight from this pulpit, that every time the Pope speaks, he strikes at the person of the Lord Jesus. And every time he has a mass or one of his sacraments, he strikes at Christ the Savior. There is no salvation in any church. Salvation is in Christ alone. If you don't have Christ, you're lost. That's what Peter preached. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. I am. There you have, plainly and clearly, the excelling title. He's Jehovah. Christ is God. In him is salvation. Nowhere else can it be found. So all this talk by the Pope is striking at Christ. Look at that secondly. There is an exclusive task here. He says he's the way. He says he's the truth. And he says he's the life. How am I going to get to God? Through priests, through cardinals, through the Pope, through the church, through the masses. No! I am the way. Christ alone is the way. Secondly, I am the truth. Anything contrary to what Jesus says is a lie. And this whole document is contrary to Jesus Christ. I went through it this afternoon and I noticed that they never use the expression that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. They just say Christ died according to the Scripture. But they don't say he died for our sins, because they believe the church has a part in forgiving sin. You can't know your sins forgiven except the priest gives you absolution. And all these pedophile priests have been giving absolution for years. Rotten rascals that they are. There is nothing as rotten as the Church of Rome. And now today, we have those that ought to know are not willing to listen to the truth. You say, do they teach this? Of course they do. Let me read you from the Children's Catechism of Rome, Butler's Shorter Catechism. The children are taught, I am a little Catholic. I love my holy faith. I will be true to holy church and faithful unto death. I shun the schools of those who seek to snare poor Catholic youth. Poor Catholic youth. What about the Christian brothers and their teachers and their priests? No church I own, no schools I know, but those that teach the truth. Drilled into their hearts. My friend, tonight, let me say that I am here in this pulpit to take a stand for the supremacy, the preeminence, and the sovereignty of Christ as the only Savior of man. And around the walls of this building, there are busts of martyrs that died and were burned to death. And I tell you, friend, there's coming a day very soon when persecution will arise again. One would have thought that the Archbishop of Canterbury would have had something to say. But what did he say? He said, we're losing the progress we have been making in ecumenism. That's what he said. No rebuke to the treacherous man sitting on the banks of the Tiber, uplifting himself and showing himself in the temple of God and calling himself even by God's name. Rome's old blood-stained battle standard under which he slew millions of mankind is raised again in our day and generation. And the thought language is especially strong. Now, I told you that this week we had the traveling of Pius the Ninth. He started his way to sainthood. Here's what he said. Pius the Ninth in 1866 spoke thus: I alone, despite my unworthiness, am successor of the apostles, the vicar of Jesus Christ. Vicar means substitute. I alone have the mission to guide and direct the bar of Peter. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the Pope that started his way to be a saint under the activity of Rome's progress for sainthood. They who are with me are with the church, and they who are not with me are out of the church. They are out of the way, the truth, and the life. Let men well understand this, that they be not deceived or led astray by other Catholics who desire and teach something quite different from what the head of the church teaches. And that is the man that Rome has started on the way now from beatification to canonization as a saint. That's the real heart of this matter. It is necessary to believe, without examining what the church teaches, without adding or retracting anything, as her teaching could never deceive anybody because it is truth. Think of that. There is the real Church of Rome, and we have seen it this week. We don't need George Carey in Canterbury. We need another Thomas Cranmer in Canterbury. That's what we need. What a day that was for Rome when she claimed she had an infallible leader. And while at that time Protestantism was strong, Protestantism has lost its faith. How did Protestantism lose its faith? Because it lost the Bible. Unbelief was the great weapon against God's truth, unbelief. And in our theological schools and colleges, this Bible was attacked and attacked and attacked by the Jesuit plan to destroy the Protestant faith in the Word of God. And a Protestant church that doesn't believe this Bible from cover to cover has no alternative to Rome. And a Christian minister that doesn't preach this from cover to cover ought not to be listened to. For what was he called to do? To preach the Word. That's what he was called to do. I remember as a young boy sitting down one day and reading a passage in the New Testament scriptures. Passage that you'll find over in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. Or to Timothy, rather. Let's just turn to it. Fourth chapter of 1 Timothy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Who are these people? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat. Well, you know who that is. You don't need to pass the 11 plus to know who that is. This is the plain Word of God. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And I was a young stripling of a preacher at 20 years of age, and I read that. And I went home to the home where I lived in Diggs of the City, and I knelt down, and I said, "Oh God, make me a good minister of Jesus Christ." That's why from that day to this, I have unceasingly waged war against Rome and all her works. For my Bible told me if I was going to be a good minister, that was God's standard. A lot of people didn't like it. A lot of my congregations didn't like it. A lot of my friends didn't like it. Sometimes I didn't like it myself, but I was faithful to my God. And I pray God, if Ian Paisley ever has a thought that he's going to stop keeping to that standard, that God will put him in a coffin and remove him from his ministry. The days are black and dark, and they'll be darker. But thank God, God is on the throne. And Christ is the I Am. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But listen, if you want to get to the eternal throne, how do you get there? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to God's throne. And thank God, give me Jesus, Jesus only. Make sure you have a saving interest, my friend, in Jesus Christ. We will come back to this next Lord's Day in the will of God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. How we love it. We love to know that Thou art the I Am, Lord Jesus. You are all our fancy pictured in its fairest dreams and more. And each day you grow still sweeter than you ever were before. Lord, I pray for the poor, deluded Roman Catholic population of Ireland and this city. Lord, help us to get the gospel out. Help us to get the word of God out. Help us to pray that their eyes may be opened, that they may turn to Jesus Christ. And this night we say, God save our Queen, and save her from Blair, and those that would lead her further down that dark Roman road to apostasy. O God, Thou art on the throne. Thou art the God that made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is. We trust in Thee. Thou art the God that broke the power of the devil at the cross, and the power of sin in our lives by the precious blood. And Thou wilt preserve a testimony. And Thou wilt build Thy church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hear this our prayer for Jesus' sake. And may Thy grace and Thy mercy and Thy peace be with us for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. Would you stewards get to the door and get one of these pamphlets into everybody's hand as they're passing on? Thank you.